Bruce Wolf for standing outside Walter Reed Army Medical Center, where we usually stand Friday nights, as we did last night, but it's Saturday morning. For a number of years now, you and Candace have put together the Walter Reed Friday night vigil. But I wanted to come out this morning after I read in the Washington Post that a parade of ambulances is scheduled to carry the last 30 patients from Walter Reed, the 7 miles to Bethesda on Saturday morning, effectively closing the historic Army Hospital in Northwest Washington. The move, initially planned for Sunday, has been accelerated by one day in the hopes of beating Hurricane Irene. And as we look at the Walter Reed, there are just a whole number of ambulances lined up, maybe about a dozen. What are your thoughts this morning?
Well, thank you, Pete, for calling me down here and letting me know this is taking place. First of all, what I'd like to say is that the journey for the wounded soldiers here really started thousands of miles from here, when they were sent to foreign shores to fight wars that, frankly, were not in the best interests of either our country or the countries where we were fighting. These men and women ended up, you know, it's sad to say, but being, you know, damaged in the war, and were brought here to Walter Reed to be mended, to be healed, to be taken care of. Now today, we're seeing the closing of this great institution, which is now more than 100 years old, and is such an important and great part of the whole community in Northwest DC and Ward 4. And it's kind of sad. I'll admit I feel a little choked up. And it's a little sad to see these ambulances lined up in parade fashion to take these wounded soldiers away, simply to be warehoused somewhere else. And frankly, it seems a bit tasteless on the part of our government, frankly, to do it this way. It's not honoring the soldiers. And they should stop trying to exploit and glorify them, because there's nothing glorious about what's happened to these men and women. And so, yes, I am feeling a little sad about this. I feel sad that those wars are going on at all, and that the situation exists where we have wounded like this. And by the way, we realize very well that this is just our wounded. There are many more people affected in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, and wherever we send our troops, wherever we are dropping our bombs and using our drones. So this is in some ways just the tip of the iceberg. But these are our brothers and sisters, and in some cases fathers and mothers, sons and daughters, and we should care about them. They are not the ones who are at fault. They did their duty. They served in our armed forces. It was meant to be an honorable service, and they were used for a dishonorable purpose, in my opinion, and I think the opinions of many Americans, and an opinion I believe of many people here in the United States. We want this war, these wars and occupations, to end, and end right now, and stop spending the lives of our people, stop spending the economic wealth of our country, especially today when our economy is suffering so much.
It certainly seems to be the sentiments as we stand. You know, I was privileged to join you the last couple of years, Friday nights here, and when you stand holding a sign, my favorite ones are "End These Wars" and a big one that says "War Sucks." The honking, the level of people who are so concerned that they honk and wave, and seems to be that, you know, it's overwhelming. People are opposed to this war. Your thoughts?
Yes. Well, let me say, for those who may not know, Walter Reed Vigil, which is what we call it, began here back in March of 2005. The war in Iraq was already 2 years old. But it was discovered that wounded soldiers were being brought in the dead of night, and we believed that attention should be brought to that. People should know, if we're going to send people to war, They should know that they're being brought back and what the effects of that war is. Support for the vigil grew over the years as people began to understand what we were about. And I will say that one of the things that's most gratifying to me are when cars full of families with children go by and the children are all calling out in support of ending the war too. It shows that we're getting a message across, hopefully that'll be remembered. And it is, I would like to say, that at least in this one spot on Georgia Avenue, on Friday evenings for 2 hours, we had a place that was a true free speech zone, a true place where dissent against the wars was manifest. We did it, it was all through the Bush years when many people were too frightened to say anything. And now, even with a new administration that's continuing the wars, we've remained here because our purpose is the same. And we care for the fate of our brothers and sisters who served in uniform. And we also cared very much to state that these wars should end immediately.
You mentioned, Bruce, about portraying soldiers as kind of, I don't know, heroic is not quite the word that you used, glorifying the injuries. And one time I was taking a tour, because now this property will go largely to the district, and so the district was doing a tour, I don't know, a year or so ago for, I guess, potential property, people are interested in building here or whatnot. And on the tour, one of the military guys who taken us around repeatedly referred to the folks here as wounded warriors, which I thought was, it just struck me, I hadn't heard the term yet, and this constantly saying wounded warriors. And then I wanted to contrast that to one of the images that I have from being with you here at the vigil of a father pushing his child in a stroller, but he was in a wheelchair being pushed by his wife because he hadn't any legs. So it was a chain of a parade of folks being pushed in wheelchairs. It didn't seem like a wounded warrior was appropriate. It seemed to somehow lost the pain that this person and his family must be feeling.
Yes, well, it's, you know, the military thinking, which may be a contradiction in terms. So they have their own way of thinking of things. They always try to come up with words and descriptions that distract from what we're really seeing and what's really happening. Now, I'll tell you, that's why I don't actually like to refer to the people we're supporting in the hospital as soldiers, because they're not soldiers to us. They're human beings to us. These are our sisters and brothers, mothers and fathers, sons and daughters. These are people. And they didn't become something machine-like just because they had to serve for a while in the armed services. Their service was not dishonorable in that they're serving their country, fine. But how was that service used? So when you hear terms, yes, they did invent that in Walter Reed, this wounded warriors term. And, you know, the idea is to somehow deflect from the fact that we're talking about young men and women without arms and legs, some of them brain damaged to the point while their bodies are technically alive, they are nowheres to be found. The numbers of young men and women who have come back, and you may not see the wounds on their bodies, but they're there in their minds and their souls, and they know it. Listen, I won't recount all this. We've been out here long enough to see too many sad pictures. Pictures of mothers who sit by the side of their sons waiting for them, hopefully, to one day wake up and be able to recognize them again. Soldiers swathed head to foot in bandages with their multi-generational family sitting around them, unable to even do anything but sit there by their soldier who obviously doesn't even know they're there, may not. And that's just some. I've seen soldiers, you know, who I've seen their, you know, after their operations, where they've their wounds were that, to my eyes, looked pretty gruesome, and they will tell you, oh, that's not even so bad compared to others. But I will say that some of us, a lot of support that we get, people who say they appreciate the vigil being here, were the patients, were the soldiers, were the techs who work in the hospital, the just the regular workers in the hospital who maintain everything. But the soldiers themselves, yes, even terribly wounded as they are, would tell us how much they appreciate our being out here, because the one message, the message they primarily liked that we were giving, was bring the troops home now, because these guys have friends, they have buddies, they have, you know, their comrades who are still serving overseas, and they want to see their friends home again, whole, not home again wounded like they are. The caring doesn't stop. And even as terribly wounded as they are, these brothers and sisters are still caring about those that were left, are still behind in the battlefront. So this is really, people should appreciate what war means in so many aspects, but particularly what it means for those who are forced to fight the wars. And there's nothing glorious, I'm going to use that word again, there is nothing glorious about war. Even if there is such a thing, at its best, war is still an abominable thing. It's human beings destroying each other, as well as whole societies and cultures. There's nothing glorious about it. So even if there was some rationale for being at war, it should always be done with the greatest reluctance and loathing. There's nothing to parade about, nothing to cheer about. You know, when people say they support the troops, in our mind, that should mean we support them being safe and getting them home again, and not forcing them to fight other people who are really not any different than us. And I'm going on, but that's my... So these are wounded people, and in some ways they're heroic, in that, but the warrior part, that's the military cares about. That's what they see them as. They don't see them as people.
Last night, as we were standing right here, and by the way, there's this yellow police tape, which now is permanently up, but used to get put up just before the Friday evening vigil, just to make sure that the full access to the sidewalk cannot be had by those protesting the war. But last night, as we were standing here, Bruce, a gentleman walked by and said, "Did you personally lose anyone? Because that might be why you guys are always out here." And you talked about your experience with the Vietnam War, where you were a conscientious objector.
Well, yes, that shows my age. But yes, I was a young man growing up in the era when the war in Vietnam was starting to get hot, and when the whole question of are you going to serve or not took place. I made my decision, but I had many, many friends, close friends, who just made the decision to go into the service. Some were drafted. People don't realize how many actually enlisted, though, right out of high school. I knew many more. Later, I was living in California, and I knew many returning soldiers and heard their stories. I still, among my closest and best friends are still veterans of the Vietnam War. Because I was very close with the organization Vietnam Veterans Against the War, and as a conscientious objector, they felt that I belonged with them. There was no distinction because I didn't serve in the Army. They recognized the fact that resisting going into the war was actually the right thing to do, because they saw it and realized how wrong it was. And when they came back, they stood up to protest and to demand an end to the war. But today, as far as I'm concerned, whether I know someone, and unfortunately, I'm glad, I guess, in a way that I don't know someone absolutely close to me who died or was wounded in the war. Because of the kind of work I've done and people I know too many stories of family, people I know who's been touched in their families. In fact, we had a woman who early on was a vigil participant whose son was wounded in Iraq and died on the way home. He's in a hospital in Germany on the way home. She desperately flew to Germany to try to be with him before he died. We've known wounded, people who from inside the hospital. But I want to say that even beside all that, to me, every brother and sister serving in uniform, all our people, to me, I feel something for. I don't have to know them personally to have a feeling for them, because I know them as who they are in the sense of, they're working people, they're young people with lives ahead of them, they're young people who have people they love or may one day they would have loved and been loved. They're leaving behind people who love them so desperately. So whether I know them personally or not doesn't matter. To me, it's very personal.
That's it. Any final thoughts you may have? And also, I was thinking, do you remember the conversation that led to, we're going to start a vigil Friday evenings outside Walter Reed on Georgia Avenue?
That's a good question. How did I get involved? It's interesting that because for me, there was a rally that actually took place at Fort Bragg or nearby Fort Bragg in Fayetteville, North Carolina. It was on March 19th, 2005. This is the second anniversary of the war. And Medea Benjamin, who's one of the co-founders of Code Pink, was speaking there and mentioned that we're going to do a vigil at Walter Reed Hospital. And she explained why. She explained about the wounded being brought in the dead of night and so forth. And I thought to myself, this is, first of all, in my youth, in my lifetime, Walter Reed was an important institution. I grew up in this area. I still live fairly close by. I said, what better place on a consistent basis to show both my displeasure with the war, but also stand for something? Because again, like I said, I had so many friends who served during the Vietnam War era. I understood there from what they told me and the stories I heard so many times, and just knowing them, the pain they felt and how that pain never really goes away. And so I felt being close by where the wounded are made perfect sense. And then to top it off, to be in a place where regular people passing by can see it. People who, frankly, if we'd never been here, would have driven by this hospital, not even thinking about it. It would have just been, I'm driving down George Avenue, and they wouldn't have been thinking, I'm passing by Walter Reed Army Medical Hospital. Not out of meanness, but just because, you're thinking about your own life, got to get to work, whatever. Our being here gave people time to pause to think. And that's what we did on Friday nights. It's just a two-hour vigil, once a week. But it turned out to be so powerful. And so I'm glad I made the decision. My wife did, but many more people, by the way. Many more people. And I would guess that certainly hundreds, if not maybe 1,000 or more people at some time, one time or another, have been here at the vigil. And I'll tell you something else. We used to get attention from all over the world. Frankly, not from here in the United States, but from England and Japan and Finland and Germany and places like it. They came to talk to us because they heard, there's some people standing in front of Walter Reed Hospital who are opposed to the war. So I think we did have some effect. And as some of us feel that even the exposure of some of the scandalous things that were going on. And by the way, people should realize that inside the hospital here are some wonderful people who give the wounded terrific care, and the hospital itself is fine. There were some deplorable things that were being done to the wounded that were the responsibility of the military, because this is a military base. But still, the fact that at least something was said about that partly is because we were here. And we know that because while they didn't put it in their stories, we would talk to the techies and the camera people who were the behind the scenes people, and we would tell them, hey, you know, we've been out here for two, at this time it had been 2 years or more. And so, yeah, we know you're out here. We're not going to cover it, but we know you're here. And yes, that's what. So we feel being here had a positive role to play. And even though the hospital's closing and the vigil may be ending here, those of us, you know, will carry on in one way or another, because the wars are still going on. The wounded are still happening. The blood is still flowing, and people should realize that when a wounded soldier returns here, they've just left a battlefield tens of thousands of miles away. But for them, that battlefield is only hours away. And so there is a real connection between the war and our city. And people can try and put it out of their minds and try to carry on their lives without thinking about the war. But it's happening, whether you like it or not. And it's in our midst, and we should recognize it. We should care for the wounded. We should make sure none of these people who served are cheated of any of the benefits they're supposed to get. And we should be demanding loudly and consistently to end the wars and bring the troops home now.
As you were talking, two ambulances went by, no longer with police escorts as they were earlier this morning. But Bruce, September 30th is the final Friday you'll be here, and it didn't matter rain,
right,
snow, no matter how cold.
We've always been here, believe me, rain, snow, ice, we've been here through lightning storms and thunderstorms, it doesn't matter. We figure the people in uniform have to put up with the situations they're in. We figure we can put up with 2 hours or whatever nature might throw at us, or for that matter, what certain people throw at us, because we've had to endure, you know, some pretty ugly folks who didn't agree with us, shall we say. But we never let that.
You had Tea Party like folks who started their own vigil at the exact same time, right?
Yeah, right. Well, these were people who actually were the same people who were down in Florida during 2000, you know, supporting Bush being selected president. But they would come out. They come from all over the area, young Republicans, even some young Democrats, by the way, come out waving their flags and calling us names and thinking in their minds that somehow they're supporting the troops. And I know the troops don't appreciate it. It was the last thing they want to see are people outside the hospital cheering and yelling, "We can't wait for you to get back to the battle, the war again." These guys want to heal. They want to get better. They want their brothers and sisters home themselves. They're not looking for more war. So these people who are out here waving their flags, they may think that they're being supportive, but in fact, it's the exact opposite. They've been out here, and of course, they admitted to us. I mean, the reason they're out here fundamentally was to make us go away. And they would bring out their motorcycle gangs and people they dragged out of bars, all kinds of creeps. But we actually, one of the things about being here is we learned how to deal with that. We stayed on our mission. We were always, Pacific vigil. We're peaceful. We don't strike back, and we learn to not be drawn into arguments and all that. And that was frustrating for them, because that's all they wanted, was to somehow turn it into a melee. And we stayed fast to what we were doing and would not be moved. The old song, "We shall not be moved." Well, that's the way we were. And people should realize, it's amazing, the people who come out here to this day, to the last days of the vigil, these are people who dedicated their time. No one made them. They're not paid to do it, as some people have suggested. No, they're not members of. They may be members of organizations, but that's not why they're here. They're here as individuals. They come because they feel for the, you know, for why we're here. And they, and they're so dedicated, and they come out as much as they can no matter what. Code Pink originally called people to come out, but they haven't been here for years. That's, you know, they faded away, but the people who really cared have stayed here throughout. My wife and I, we've been here throughout, but just one of those things. Somebody has to make sure the signs get here and kind of hold things together. We took that on, but it could have been anybody. And we're not. And I congratulate all our fellow vigilers who have stood by. And September 30th, we've decided will be our last vigil. It looks like all the patients will be gone for sure. So we figure there's no longer at least a point to be here for the wounded, because they're not going to be here anymore. But we really appreciate the support and acceptance that we got from the people who live in this neighborhood, live right across the street, and have seen us out here every Friday. We really appreciate the support of all the different people who have driven up and down George Avenue, the regular working people and families, the cab drivers, especially the cab drivers. They've always been our greatest supporters. And the bus drivers, and the guys, the workers driving in their, you know, vans and trucks. People may not know it. It's in my mind, because the people who support us, the radio trucks that go by, like from Sports Talk 980 and whatever, they always cheered for us. The police officers who work in this area always, you know, turned on their lights for us or waved to us, and because they couldn't stand with us because they were in uniform and serving, but they told us, they totally supported what we were out here for. They had family serving overseas. They want them home again. So all of that will always be in our hearts. This has been a tremendous experience. We're in our seventh year, and I don't think we ever dreamed that it would last this long. We committed ourselves at the very beginning to hang in there. And we figured once we came out and stood for the soldiers, that we couldn't just disappear. You know, we had made a commitment, and they should know that we were always going to be here. So we've gotten something that we'll always remember, too. And hopefully a lot of the people who saw us will think about it and think maybe it'll affect their lives. And it'll maybe bring them to do something at some point, when it's necessary.
To end the wars.
To end the wars and to stand up for justice and peace anytime.
Thanks, Bruce Wolf.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Pete, for being here.